Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, I was pre-warned that that was going to be hilarious. And you know what? I loved it. That is a retake, for those who don't know, of the original Orson Welles' radio broadcast of War of the Worlds. Who cannot remember iconic?
That's the Outer Limits.
That's Outer Limits. That sounded just like War of the Worlds when you came in and Orson Welles was scaring everybody back in the day. That was like in the 1930s? It caused a mass hysteria? Oh,
let
man.
Let me tell you, listen. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Juarez, Take the Technology, with co-host Cairo Queen. Today we are in the Outer Limits. We have flipped the show today because Juarez is actually hosting today, and I'm piggybacking. I'm co-host today. So he has created our whole production of our show today, even though I inserted some interesting little buzzes that he's not going to be expecting.
Wow. Wow. I swear that was Orson Welles.
No, it was the Outer Limits because, you know, we are controlling your vertical and your horizontal.
We are
I do that specifically.
I love that. I love it.
It's a switch up today. So
I love
today, Juarez is captain of the ship, and we are following his lead today. And so we're going to have Juarez host the show, and I'm going to do some side commentary and some great interplay and interexchange with our guests. So let's go ahead and continue on to Juarez Take the Technology featuring co-host Cairo Queen.
Right. I like that. I like how that sounds. I think there's a ring to that. You know, we need to go ahead and promote that. That sounds real good.
Well, you got it for the whole summer, so okay.
Awesome. So everyone, hey, welcome and thank you for tuning in and listening. And for those who have tuned in for the first time, I'd like to encourage you to look online, and you can actually look at our different shows that we've had, and we've had so many great, wonderful discussions with so many great and wonderful people that definitely search and you shall find. Seek and ye shall find. It's biblical. So we're here today. We are gathered here today to talk about what is all about Next Steps, YEP, Youth Entrepreneurial Program with Dana Harris. But before that, let's have a recap. You know, last week we had a show mashup where we brought some psychologists. I mean, that show actually had me going for a while. I was quoting stuff, and I had turned into a online. You heard I was diagnosing stuff online. It sounded like I was in the wrong field.
We had a great show last week. That show was awesome, and then carried over into their show afterward. That was really great.
Right. So I actually was in Orlando last week, and I could not make it to the carryover. Because everyone was waiting on me. It was a family vacation. Everybody was definitely tuned in to me getting off the phone and getting into the family trip. So this week I am in Syracuse here with the men and women of Syracuse University. I want to give
everybody, do you notice every week we have Juarez calling you? We've had him call from Canada. You've been in Wisconsin. You called now from Orlando, in Atlanta, South Carolina, and now he is in Syracuse.
That's right.
You're
everywhere.
Where's Juarez?
I am everywhere. So I want to give a big ups to my brother who is getting his MBA at Syracuse University and just people in general. Yeah, that's a big ups. And I want to just big ups people in generally that, you know, we're a big supporter and a proponent of education, of people who don't find it a disservice to continue their education even after receiving their initial matriculation through their undergraduate degree. So big ups to Lennox, and big up to everyone else out there who continues to pursue higher forms of education. So speaking of well-educated, we had a very, very well-educated. We know that every week, a couple weeks ago, Kyra Queen was at the State House getting recognized. You know, who does that, get recognized by the state for, you know, some of the things you're doing, all the things you're doing? You know, they can I should say some of the things, because they can't recognize all the things because they just don't know how much you do. But some of the things you're doing, you are, you know, and I really do mean that. And some of the things you're doing, they did recognize you. And, you know, it's just fabulous that you're always out there. You were at, you know, so many different events over the past couple of weeks. But this past week, I know that you had gotten to meet someone who is very influential in the area of astrophysics. He's like an astrophysicist. So anybody out there, if you are ever watching, you know, one of my favorite channels, I know Carol always talked to me about, you watch this, and I say, nope, only watch really news.
Discovery Channel.
Yeah, the one thing that I do watch is anything that has to do with science and history and those kind of things. And this little short, sandy, white-haired guy is, I mean, he looks already like, you know, he is smarter than Einstein. But this guy, I mean, he looks like a Einstein replica. And you have had a chance to actually sit down with him and tell everybody a little bit about your experience and who you got to meet this past week.
I mean, whereas I literally, my whole soul was doing backflips. And I'm at Georgia State, and I ironically, I have to say, it was truly a gift from God that I accidentally wound up just in the area at that time. I was going to a meeting, totally forgot this was happening, going down to a meeting downtown. I just said, oh, wasn't that today? Happened to walk in, and it was just about to start. And I was like, I'm going to a lecture. And I was already excited because I'm going to a lecture. I'm like, going to a lecture, and it's free for Dr. Michu Kakao. Dr. Michu Kakao. He is, if anybody doesn't understand who this man is going to be responsible for so much of what's coming into the future, and his hands are in literally everything in technology, quantum physics, astrophysics. And, I mean, I was just so overwhelmed. So if you ever watch the Discovery Channel and anything having to do with science, you always see an Asian guy that's got completely white hair that kind of has, he does have the and I would guess because that is his actual mentor, I shouldn't say mentor, but it's his idol, you know, that has the whole Albert Einstein appeal, because I'm sure he's wise beyond his years, but I tell you, you know, your hair turns white with wisdom. So I truly believe this man was just absolutely awesome. He gave the most fantastic speech on the future and technology in the future. And I'm like, what was the likelihood that I end up in this space during this time today? I truly believe that that was an act of God. Not only did I get in there, but I actually got to go in afterward and meet him. I recorded the entire thing, but I went in and met him. It was just so fabulous. Yes, Robin, I know. It was just so fabulous when I went in. He was so cool and down to earth, and I asked him about space elevators. He turns to me and he goes, and I said to him, I said, well, Dr. Kaga, I said, can you tell me where I can find more information on space elevators? He stopped and looked at me. He was like, well, you know, there's this thing called Google. But he went on to explain. He says, well, you know, I wrote about it in my book, because, of course, I knew this was something that he had already specialized in. That's why I asked him about it, so just to get him to talk to me. But, you know, he turned around, and he, of course, went into a mini lecture. And I'm looking at all these children and children, students at Georgia State have absolutely no clue who this man is. So they're all standing around. They're like, they know he's important. But I'm like, do you understand what a space elevator is? And they were like, no, does that actually mean we can go to space in an elevator? And I said, in a sense, yes. And he looks and he breaks it down and he says, well, it's not going to happen in this century, which means it'll probably happen in half a century, but it's not going to happen in this century. And I said, oh, it's not going to happen in our lifetime? He was like, probably not, not unless we figure out a way for you to live that long. He was like, it's not going to happen because the nanotech that creates the straws, and there are these, what do you call them? He said, they're these straws, kind of like straws that go up into space. And I said, straws? No, he said, they're not straws. What do you call them? I don't know. Anyway, so they were straws. He was like, the straws are just too small. You could actually suck juice out of the straws they have now that act as the space elevators. But we have to be able to transport human bodies and materials and vehicles from here to space. And they haven't been able to get the nanotech to, you know, create a large enough circumference for that. So I was like, oh, man. But I really think that could probably happen. You never know, because artificial intelligence can create anything when they start to get it in a good position. So anyway, I think that's something we could look forward to. And I was just doing backflips. I mean, he talked about things like, or when I tell you, he was talking about the RFID chip, what I used to know as the RFID chip being a nanotech chip is going to be inserted inside medications. And because, again, as everybody who's ever listened to the show long enough understands, nanotechnology is like a rice pellet, but magnified 10,000 smaller than a rice pellet. So it's undetectable in liquids and blood and anything like that. But they're going to put that in medication coming for the future. And so that medication will now go into your system and be able to decode what your illnesses are. And so I used to always think about religiously, you know, when people are in religion, they talk about the mark of the beast, and people always say it's going to be technology, and they take it on the hand and the head. And I said, well, if you were going to take it, the Bible says that you would ask for it, right? I said, what made people ask for a mark? Well, if you're dying of cancer, if you have AIDS, if you have lymphoma, if you have any kind of disease inside of your body that's incurable or it takes too long to cure or you could easily die from it, wouldn't you ask for help if you knew that there was a help and they could provide it by one pill? And so this thing now can go and encrypt your DNA and go into your DNA, read it, and then create the medication that will eliminate the illness. That's what he said is coming. And then we won't have a doctor. We'll have RoboDoc, which is being your in the mirror.
Hey, that should be fun, it's so crazy. We need to take a commercial break. And, well, before we take the commercial break, first we'd like to thank our sponsors. We like to thank Robin, and we like to thank everybody at WXRP.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we definitely want to say Robin's the best. And thank you to everybody at WXRP for the opportunity that we have to bring all this great information. You see how Kyra Queen was just going on and on and getting excited. We all get very excited about this. So thank you to my co-host, Kyra, and the rest of the staff, Robin and Stephanie Hill. So thank y'all. We're going to take a slight commercial break, and we will be right back with the wonderful, wonderful organization that we know is Next Steps, YEP. So we'll be right back. Talk to everyone in a second.
Are you getting ready to celebrate a special moment? Need a way to raise money for your organization? Or just simply love scented candles? Well, come stick your nose in our business to smell the best scent around town, and I'm sure your nose will be pleased. For more information, call 404-954-1206 or visit igotsprinkles.com. I Got Sprinkles. Come put your nose in our business.
WXRP Radio is looking to partner with your business. Could your business use more branding and exposure? Could your business use more customers? Well, WXRP Radio is here to help. Advertise with WXRP Radio and give your company the advertising boost that it needs. With packages as low as $30, WXRP Radio is the way to go. Let us get your company information out to our listeners. For more information, call 678-744-WXRP or email us at sales@WXRPradio.com. That's sales@WXRPradio.com. Let WXRP Radio help you grow your business. WXRP Radio, the station that listens.
Hello?
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 Hello, do we have someone on the line?
Hello? Aha! Hey, we have a guest. All right. Hey,
so, right now,
I
think we have our first guest on the line, and that will be Dana Jewel Harris. Dana, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well. You guys are, sounds like you're having a lot of fun on the show.
We do. We do.
We always have fun.
It's the same thing. We have a lot of fun. And we're excited about technology. And we're excited about you.
Yes, and Dana, welcome to the show. Welcome. It's normally called Kyra Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Juarez Jackson, but we kind of did a little flip because Juarez is producing the show, and you are Juarez's first honorable guest that we can bring on, and we're really happy to have you because Juarez is really, like, you know, gaining stripes here today, and we're really excited about him being in this place of putting the show together. So I think the show's going well so far. I'm really happy to have you on. You know, Juarez is glad. He's been talking about you all week. So
that's
good
right.
to hear from you.
You know,
that's
I've
right.
never met anybody that just stays on 100 watts. Juarez is the most excitable guy I think I've ever met, and he's just a lot of fun, a ball of energy, just this ball of positivity, you know. And it's always good to be in those kind of circles. So yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it, man. I can believe it.
Oh, look at you giving me compliments.
Everybody loves Juarez.
Everybody loves Juarez. Oh,
is that,
thank
you.
Know,
sure says that.
I tell you, y'all need to start eulogizing me while I'm still here. You know, y'all keep on. You know, I'm here, y'all. We still having some fun. So, okay, they ain't going to stop.
Father
True. We're still going. Yep.com. So, let's talk about Next Steps YEP. You know, I'm intimately familiar with what's going on, but I want to introduce our listening audience to you and what you have founded in nextstepsyep.org. So, if you can, you know, your background is amazing. I know that Kyra Queen was really going on and on about before we got on here about, you know, how much, you know, different things you've been into. So can you really talk about, you know, give us an overview of you know, some of your career highlights, and then we can start talking about what is Next Steps YEP.
really quick, let me insert and ask, Dana, do you go by Dana or do you go by D. Jewel Harris?
I go by Dana. I was working with a book
Dana, your sound is muffled.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Good.
Can you hear me now?
I can
hear
you
perfectly.
Now.
Wonderful.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Sorry. Thank you for the press release.
Absolutely.
But
tell us.
So last year, I met a business coach, and he was telling me to write down my story and everything. So I was telling him all the stuff I've gone through. And he's like, you know, you need to be like the mayor and like all these people. Just use your first initial and your middle name. And you're going to write a book. And that needs to be your pen name. So start using that. And I was like, okay. But everybody calls me Dana Jewel. So when I started sending it out to all my people, they were like, look, I don't know what you're going through, but you're Dana. And I was like, yes. It's a stick, you know. Just work with me.
Awesome. So tell us, give us some of that background. Give us some of that history, and then we'll talk about Next Steps YEP and some of the fabulous things you're doing to empower our youth.
Oh, yeah. As a kid, I was always the nerdy, geeky, would rather read a book than go outside. If I'm outside, I got a book under a tree. Or, you know, yeah, man, I have always been a curious child. I've always been in gifted programs and things like that. Been going to college since the fifth grade. I was actually, true story, supposed to go to FAMU. Went to FAMU's MITE program, which is a summer engineering program. I was supposed to have been a mechanical, industrial, or electrical engineer. And went there every year, my entire year of high school. And when it was time for me to graduate, no one told me I had gotten a four-year scholarship. So I thought I had wasted my entire life and in my little me bubble. I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I joined the military. No one told me I had a full-fledged scholarship to FAMU. So I was like, okay. So I went into the military in my 11th grade year and did the delayed entry program. And just so happens I got with the absolute best unit ever. It was first it was a records unit, and then they heard about me. I don't know how they heard about me, but there was a transportation terminal unit down the hall that needed a clerical assistant. And it's been over 20 years since I've been in high school. And I'm going to tell you, when I was in school, at the particular school I went to, class of 90, Harper High, shout out, Atlanta, Georgia. Our school doesn't even exist anymore. I know. The only jobs at the time, and this is really a testament to show how much of an inroad we've made in educating kids and introducing them to STEM, the kids at my high school, the only two jobs, the only two recruiters that came to our school were the military. The only jobs you can get in the military, the boys had to go to infantry, and the girls had to go and be secretaries or cooks or something like that.
Wow.
Now, I passed the ASVAB and made a perfect score the first time I took it.
Wow.
And because it was not the standard, they made me retake it because they thought I cheated.
Mm.
Wow.
And it wasn't until maybe about 5 years ago when I got my records from St. Louis, because I had lost my DD-214. So I had sent off to St. Louis to try to get my records to prove I even existed in the military. I saw the scores from my ASVAB test where they could have either placed me as an engineer or as a clerk specialist, which is a secretary. Guess which one they put me in?
Clerk specialist.
They made me a secretary, yeah.
Mm.
And my score to be an engineer was higher. So, you know, not to get on a soapbox about women and all these kind of things, it's just, it's been an interesting way to where STEM and especially engineering has always been a part of my life, and I've been on the outskirts of it. So, you know, I'm in the military. I'm loving it. I would tell anybody, as scary as it seems right now, you know, send your kids into the two-year program or the officer program with the military. That is the absolute best and easiest job you will ever have in your life. You
right.
get to travel. You get to learn new technology. I mean, in 1993,
mm-hmm.
I tested the first Wii machine.
Wow.
And that
wow.
machine, this is before it came out. Imagine, you remember the old school film things that the teacher wrote from the ceiling, and
mm-hmm.
it took up like half the wall. Okay, imagine three of those, and you had all these long cords coming from the screen attached mm-hmm. to servers, and then we had modified guns, modified weapons mm-hmm. that simulated shooting. So they had filmed guys jumping out of a Black Hawk helicopter, and they had already simulated technology where I'm laying in prone position on the floor about 50 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And prone position is when you're laying on your stomach and you just have your elbows on the ground, right?
Right.
And
right.
so I had a real what did I have at the time? Did I have an M16? I had a rifle.
Right.
And the muzzle was modified with the clip that
exactly.
had the laser technology. And so, but you had cords everywhere. And these three
right.
screens, it took three screens to get that simulation of what you see now on your television in a little bitty box.
Mm. So
and that was
you know,
in 93.
You said that because a part of my just really writing code and being in the whole technology realm was I did code, and that's why when you said prone position, before you even started explaining it, I was going to jump in and explain it. But I did code, and I understand that now they have what they call live virtual constructive simulations where you would have
exactly.
live ordinances out in the field that would interact with simulations that people are in. So if you could imagine going inside a tractor trailer where everything around you is nothing but a screen, and you can jump in a Humvee and drive around Iraq. So a lot of these guys, before they even go to Iraq or some of these battlefields, they already have the coordinates and they have driven through these streets and actually had
exactly.
simulations. And it's so and if people don't understand, you know, some people say, oh, my kids are playing video games all day. Well, that's actually where technology is moving to and where people actually are getting trained when they're in the services. And I definitely
exactly.
encourage people to say, you know, if your son or daughter, you know, needs some direction, that not only provides that job, that money, but it also provides thousands, hundreds of thousands of training and leadership that propels them into a different bracket of leadership within these Fortune 500 corporations. If you look around Fortune 500 companies, a lot of them are ran by people within the military because of that
That's
discipline
right.
and training that they receive. So just wanted
and,
to throw
and
that in
And, Warren, you actually said it backwards. A lot of the technology that makes it to the commercial end user, it starts in the military. And
exactly.
it starts
oh, yeah.
years. And
mm-hmm.
that's just like, which led to my very first civilian job was at LaFace Records. And
mm-hmm.
It was so weird to go from something that was so structured. You know, I was moving like thousands of people every weekend to do training. We would go into the middle of the woods and turn it into training cities, you know, because when you work
mm-hmm.
with a transportation terminal unit or you're with logistics, you pretty much provide everything that everybody needs to do their job. So
right.
I got, at 17 years old, I got world-class training in project management.
Mm.
And I didn't even know that's what it was called. They were like, Harris,
right.
go do this.
Wow.
Harris, do that. Harris. So, you know, at a young age, it goes so fast so that when I got out of the military and I put on my resume, I worked with the U.S. Rifle and Pistol Team doing simulations in the middle of the woods at Camp Bullis, you know, for the president and they were like, please, you know. Stop playing. You're
right.
only 18. You're only 19, you know.
Exactly.
So I literally it took me years to get to have my work experience catch up with my age, because a
mm-hmm.
lot of people don't know how to translate that kind of high-end training to civilian because they've never heard of it. you know.
Exactly.
And so when my first job, I had to go to a temp agency because nobody would hire me. And, you know, I'm only 5 feet tall, and at the time I still looked like I was maybe 12, 13 years old. So a temp agency was like, Dana, we got this great account. It's brand new, and we need you to kind of go in and lock it in for us. And sure enough, it was at LaFace Records. So at the time, Kenny had just moved to California, Babyface, and mm-hmm. L.A. Reid was about to put out. And I'm telling you, anybody that came out of Atlanta in 93, 94, I touched their album. TLC, Toni Braxton, Outkast,
wow.
Society of Soul, Tony Rich, you name it. And I was there 1 year. I got fired twice because
wow.
I was a little too organized. I didn't fit the mentality because of the experience I just had. So it was hard to translate, you know, what I do and fit in with kids that just got out of high school or didn't finish high school. So, you know, it was hard, but I learned a lot, again, in a project management field because even though I was with the A&R department, and that's the group that goes out, find the talent, they, you know, scout the producers. They have, that's the party side. You know, I was in the basement, you know, in the dungeon, cranking out the budgets, coordinating
right.
the studios, making sure everybody got their check cut. I literally, you know, the Outkast things about the dungeon, you know, in their first song or in their whole
mm-hmm.
album. And a lot of people didn't know that that was really their house. And in their house, it was like
right.
20 people. They had the whole family there. It was just like bizarre. But that was a very, very close-knit group. And at the time, nobody really understood their music. So there wasn't a rush to put them out and get them produced, not until that Christmas album came out, Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music. And those masters sat on their porch for months. And nobody was moved to go and get them. So I got in my little car, my little Subaru, and I drove to the house. And they was like, hey, come on down to the dungeon. And the dungeon was really the bottom of the house in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't even a complete finished basement. It was a partial partial room kind of
wow.
crawl space thing. And but, you know, the thing that I learned is that when kids need a way out, and they need a voice, they need to share their voice, it's technology that gives them that. And when I talk about kids today and say, you know, because like when I had to take my daughter's cell phone because of something crazy she did, she was like, Mom, how in the world can I live without my cell phone? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, that's an opportunity because I get asked that a lot by a lot of kids when I'm teaching. And I said, think about in the 60s, during the Civil Rights Movement. Think about this. Now, they did something that changed the world because those kids in the Civil Rights Movement were 16, 17, 18, up to 21, 25 years old. They were kids, literally, making
right.
this happen, right? And they didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have any of that. How did they manage to communicate? Just think about it. How
right.
did they manage to organize themselves? How
right.
did they manage to do that state by state by state without a cell phone, without computers, without the internet? All right?
That's right.
So, you know, the thing that Next Steps does, and I'm so proud of how we've transitioned, transformed over these years, you know, helping these kids pop their little me bubbles. And just kind of get out of their own head and realize there's something so much bigger out here and there's a place for you in it, but you've got to put your best foot forward. You've got to go in thinking, you know, not just right now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And that's what working in the military and working at LaFace taught me. When we did an album project at LaFace, it would take a year, sometimes 2 years, to go through the entire process of developing an artist, a song, you know, the outfits, everything that goes into this artist. So for every time you see one successful artist, it's 50 to 100 people that put a year or two of their life on hold
exactly.
to make sure this person has done what they needed to do to become a success.
Right.
So
exactly.
it's the idea of project management, the idea of entrepreneurship, the idea of developing a business or launching a business or coming up with this latest and greatest, is how do you teach people to see something that isn't there and won't be here for the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? How do you make people become visionaries? And that's what we do. We help kids see beyond right now because that's all they see. It's just them in their little bubble, and they think high school is the world. And it's like,
right.
No. Your world officially starts the day after you graduate. Or you can prepare for it now and have your, and start building your world right now. So fast forward to LaFace. Like I said, I got fired twice. And after the second time, Coca-Cola picked me up. Now, mind you, I never really interviewed for any job I've ever had. People just kind of hear about me, and they kind of pass me along.
Wow.
Like a pair of sunglasses. So the lady, somebody at Coca-Cola heard about me, and they asked me to come and work in their production center. And the production center is, back at the in the day, it was a room on the floor. Four or five of us, and only thing we did was crank out marketing materials for the account executives. So on our floor, there'd probably be 100 account executives that handled everything from the menus and the restaurants to, you know, ads and magazines and or safety manuals or, you know, what regulates the bottling, you know, all these kind of things. So that was my introduction to really understanding how important paperwork is. You know, there's got to be a system in place. And a lot of people, when you hear the word technology, they think electronics. But technology is really a system of how you're going to get something done and then get it done faster, better, quicker, you know, less expensive, all these other, you know, indicators or nuances that you add to it. But, you know, it's really a system of how you get something done. So from the military, learning about, you know, training and project management, to LaFace, again, project management, to now Coca-Cola, understanding how it's documented. How do you document a system? And how do you brand something? How do you market it? How do you understand the financials behind it? That was my introduction, my very first introduction to the business side of STEM. You know, it wasn't called STEM at the time, but that's essentially what it was. So
okay,
I did
so
that
Dana,
for
can,
yeah,
can we
yeah.
come back and just let's just recap this really quick. So wait a minute, you went from being I wanted to get you to get all that out because I'm like, wait a minute, you went from fifth grade going to college classes at fifth grade, which already makes you a genius by qualification. Graduate early, you get into the military, missed your scholarship to get into a full ride for college. You have such a huge story here. So missed your four-year ride to college. You go into the military. Now, I'm listening when you say you're testing the Wii. And 1993, you're the first tester for the Wii. So I'm thinking, okay, you're a teenager. So they had their own internal teen tech reviewer. And they started on this tech platform. This is huge. So you come through this, and then you wind up at, of all places, on your first job out, LaFace Records, and you're working with Outkast.
And
what
if you still have the J card for your Crazy Sexy Cool album, the Yvette Singletary, bless her soul, she knew that that album was going to be so huge. She put everybody on staff in the credits. So you'll see Dana Jewel Harris in the credits. So the Crazy Sexy Cool album. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
So
well,
I'm in
you
the
were there when
history.
Pebble signed over. When Pebble signed over TLC and
when
actually,
Lisa burned the house down. Yep. When when all that madness happened. When you know, just so many wonderful things happened in 1 year. I was there almost to the day, 1 year, and all those album projects came out same year, and it literally put Atlanta on the map as, you know, the music center for the South.
that right. 1 year I was there, you know, so that was a very unique experience. So, yeah, that happened. So after, you know, while I was at Coca-Cola, the general manager of the Atlanta office for Burrell Communications, she knew my boss. And they had a big presentation they had to get done. And she's like, I need to borrow one of your people from your presentation doohickey, you know. So I went in on a Friday to go help out. And when I tell you, I did not leave till that Monday morning because we worked all weekend on this presentation. They were pitching for a new airline account. And when they went into that account, before they walked in, they hired me on the spot. So, you know, and this woman, McGee Williams, I love her dearly. This is the woman that really helped me understand new business development, and she helped me, she showed me what it means to be passionate about what you love. And she loved advertising. She loved developing businesses. She loved account management. She loved it. And, I mean, there would be days McGee would come to work, and I was her executive assistant, personal assistant, slash just get it done person. And when I tell you, this woman would get to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, leave at 3 the next morning, go home, take a shower, take a quick nap, come back and be back at work at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's how passionate she was. And I started adopting that because I enjoyed being the person that allowed the number one person to be number one. That's when I knew in my heart I was designed to help successful people be successful. And I don't care what she was doing, I was right there with her because I appreciated her hustle and I appreciated her vision, the fact that she could see she had a long game strategy, you know, kind of like Obama. Just long. You know, you deal with the short and you deal with the ups and downs because you know at the end there's a bigger picture. You've already seen it. So this is just going through it to get to where you're really trying to go. And a lot of people don't get to see that because they're not capable. Some people are only wired to deal task by task by task. And then some people can see the whole thing and then build from the bottom, up. And that is what McGee taught me. So I was we were in the Colony Square building with V103 down in Midtown, and we were there for about 6 years. And then when she got promoted to I forgot what her title was, her fine title was, she moved up to the Chicago office, the headquarters with Burrell, and she took me with her. So I got to go up to Chicago. I was there in Hyde Park and in the main office off of Michigan Avenue. And when I tell you, that is a beautiful city. Just so much creativity out of there. And the office, you know, being able to see the production cycle and to see people that look like me cranking out million-dollar ads that I see on TV, you know? And I was like, I know this person, or I helped do casting with that person, or I scheduled that photo shoot. Oh, my God, I know the CEO. I did this, I did that, you know. That was the thing that started helping me become self-aware. Now, out of all these things, out of all these celebrities and all this kind of stuff, I had not learned how to be self-aware to take full advantage of the situation I was in. And when I look back on it, I've been around millionaires my entire working adult life, you know, in my young working adult life. But I didn't look at them as like, oh, my God, that's a millionaire. I need to stick with them. It was like, what can I do for you to make sure this project goes well? And then next, you know. So that's the tough lesson in not knowing, you know, what all you have access to. You know, I didn't know I had access to a 4-year scholarship, but no one told me, but I did not know to ask. You know, same thing with you know, being in all these wonderful environments, these circles that are just phenomenal. I didn't know to ask for something for myself. You know, I've always just been in the mode of how can I help, how can I serve. So, you know, I'm with Burrell, and in 2000, you're losing the years. I think it's 2000. I came back home to have my daughter, because I didn't have any family up there in Chicago. All my family's here in Georgia. So after I had my daughter, I went back to work, and I started working at C.B. Richard Ellis, which is a real estate firm. And that firm,
global
when
real
I tell you, it was global. I mean, I could not wrap my brain around how big they were when I got there, because everybody was just so down to earth. It was a folksy kind of group that I was with, a very low-key Malcolm and Kevin Geiger, Malcolm McComb, Paul Berry. They were just awesome, you know, and they took me in. And when I tell you, it was kind of like culture shock, because the only black people that were there at the time, there was one guy that did exchange securities or something, and one black female that was on a team that did real estate sales, and everybody else was a black female, was a secretary, except the one dude that worked in the mailroom. So to walk into this environment and money's just dripping, it's just they are making money hand over fist. The year that I was there, 2004, I want to say, this is like right before the economy started tanking. Oh, let me get my award. I'm looking at it right now. 2006, because I was there for a minute. My team did $2.4 billion with the B, billion worth of sales.
Wow.
Flipping apartment complexes. So I didn't know anything about real estate when I walked into the door, because they hired me as a secretary. And when I walked out of there, I was a client services specialist that specialized in the due diligence process for closing a deal on selling an apartment complex or a portfolio of apartment complexes.
Right.
I was just about to get my real estate license and the economy crashed. So by that time, you know, I had my son, and if you can imagine, thousands of people losing their job on the same day at the same time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, 2008 hit, a whole lot of people in real estate were not in real estate anymore. It wasn't. And
it was
so you had
people.
It was terrible. It was awful. So, you know, I was at home. I just had my son, so, you know, chilling with my son. And then I get a call from Tony at the Environmental Protection Agency. I would never forget him. And he called me out the blue one day. He said, "You still looking to work with us?" And I was like, "Who?" He said, "This is the EPA. You put in a resume like 2 years ago."
Oh, my gosh.
Like, really? yeah, okay. So I went in as a contractor, and they brought me in to help with this was a branch, the administrative branch, is one of the administrative branches, and putting systems and get together, because they were transitioning. And every time somebody gets into the office, a new president, then they got to shuffle stuff around. So, you know, it's a wonder how they get things done, because if the person at the top puts their people in, then and they're not in line with what the people before them did, they got to kind of change everything, and it takes a year to do that. So it was a little chaotic, and the administrative service, you know, processes got messed up. So, you know, it took me about a couple months to get it together, because I had just come from C.B. Richard Ellis, and, you know, you got to be really organized when you're doing real estate. So, you know, I just brought those kind of systems with me, the knowledge that they shared with me. And again, project management, understanding processes, understanding how to use technology to apply to what you're doing right now. I'm still in a STEM career pathway. I just didn't know it.
Right.
And let's move
on
really
great.
Quick, because we have about 10 minutes left,
and
we need to get into the actual part of about next steps.
Exactly.
Your life history is amazing, and we probably
amazing.
Bring
well,
you back
know,
and talk more
and
about
the EPA.
That.
Yeah, well, the EPA actually leads to how I started Next Step. These are real scientists. These are real archaeologists. These are real chemists. These are real scientists. I mean, this is.
Hey, Dana, I'm having you're not as clear as you were before.
Again.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, can you hear me better now?
You're back again.
Am I there now? Okay. Yeah.
Excited.
So, I did because I, you know, this was my tipping point for me, and this is what helped me really understand
what I was doing and what all these experiences in my life meant. And it was Tony that was the chief branch officer of that department that I was in, and he took me down to the GIS room. And the GIS room, it's like walking into a TV set of a sci-fi movie. You got all these monitors and all these things. You got the satellites and all this stuff going on. And I was like, what in the world is this? He said, this is the how we do recovery for emergencies like Hurricane Katrina. That's the one we're working on right now. And when they showed pictures of, you know, what it was when they went in. Now, you imagine when you saw the pictures on TV, when the water receded, there was nothing. I mean, there were no streets, there were no trees, there were no rocks, mm-hmm. there were no buildings. Or if there were, you know, some places were just everything was washed out. So they had to go back and use satellite imaging and use triangulation and use all these really wonderful technologies that's steeped in math. Everything's math-based to right. recreate these cities, you know, the areas, the neighborhoods, communities. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And you know, being with all these smart people is overwhelming because they're using all these words and all this kind of stuff. And then you got the group, you know, that breaks it down and says, well, this is what he really means. So, you know, I became the note taker for all these first responder meetings and all these follow-up meetings. And it just so happened one day we had a meeting, and they said, we need to talk to the group that really controls a lot of the things that people need to survive or in survival situations that help them start over. And I was like, who was that? They said growers, farmers, anybody in agriculture. And I was like, what?
Absolutely.
So I went off to some garden meetings. I met Bobby Wilson at the University of Georgia Extension Office and went to his gardener meeting. And sitting there listening to them talk about the garden, how they started, how they organize it, you know, what they produce, where it goes, how they transport it, how they manufacture it, how they package it, how they use the, how they recycle it. All of these careers are centered around food. And it's like, this is a huge industry. And after you think about it, food is the biggest industry in the world. If you don't have nothing, you got to eat, you know?
Mm.
So then when I go back to the EPA and you see the kids with these mamas out there, and there's a lot of kids affected by that whole hurricane thing. And I was like, now imagine, you know, this child is hungry and doesn't have any water and don't know what to do. And at the time, you know, I was still in fresh mommy mode. I just had my son. And I was like, God forbid if something happens here, because I don't even know if I'm prepared to start over at that extreme level. So I immediately said, I'm going to start a nonprofit, and I'm going to teach kids this kind of stuff. That is
right.
literally how it started. And so
let's talk about that. Uh-huh. What are, because
yeah.
we need to have you back for another show already. Because we have an hour. I mean, you need like 5 hours, but I know at the heart of it, you are doing something that a lot of people are not doing. And I remember when we first got together, your thing was, we talked about some of the things that, you know, I was providing as far as from a inventor standpoint. And you were talking about what separated yourself from other things that kids were learning is that you were actually empowering them to make money while they were young. Like, you know,
absolutely.
Not teaching them,
absolutely.
Not teaching them. And you were like, well, you kept on hammering home, well, what are they getting? What are they getting out of that? So talk about that, and as far as how you
yeah.
are different
yeah.
from other organizations.
Usually when someone does an entrepreneur program, they'll walk into a room, let's say it's 24 kids in the class, 14 kids in the class. They say, okay, all of you are entrepreneurs, right? So now you got 24 businesses in one location, in direct close proximity to each other with a limited resource pool. And I know a lot of people don't think about this, but if all those kids in that classroom come up with an idea and they are charged to sell it, Miss Johnson can only afford to buy for one or two of those babies. She can't pay for everybody's stuff. You just created an atmosphere of competition that's not healthy. an environment where children are not learning benevolence, they're not learning teamwork, they are learning, you know, you was my boy before we got this project, now you're my enemy because I got to beat you. You see what I'm saying? Because we're competing for the same resources. They live in the same neighborhood. They know the same people. They go to the same church. They go to the same community center. You know? So you just created this environment where the majority of them are going to fail, period. They're going to fail. So what I decided to do was let me create a model, and I actually, you know, used this model. I had been writing business plans, you know, all throughout since I got out of the military. That was kind of my side hustle. And I created a model based off of my job in the military and my job at LaFace. So it's a work hard, play hard kind of thing. But it's designed strictly off of teamwork. Because, you know, again, to produce an album, it takes 50 to 100 people. So you got to work with people. Same thing in the military. When they sent me somewhere, I knew I was joining a team and my job was required to complete the mission. I wasn't just lingering. They needed me. So my job was to create a system, and I call it the Community Involvement Growth Strategy, because it involves everybody, and everybody should get something out of it. And we empower the kids. We appoint them in executive management positions so that they all have something to contribute. So if the kid isn't the direct leader of the group, he could be on the communications team because he's good with graphic arts. Or this girl doesn't like to do anything, but she runs her mouth a lot. She's great with PR. Let her talk to the clients. Give her a script and let her go for it. This type of system allows the kids to talk to each other and say, what are you good in? What are you doing? You know, I know you're good at this. I didn't know you did it. It immediately starts them to learning each other, learning their skill sets, and figuring out now that they're one company. They have one mission, and all of them have to create an event or an activity. That keeps them focused, but now you got 14 to 24 people working on one mission, doing what they're good at and what they love to contribute to the company, because that's what they're going to have to do when they go and get a job.
Dana, we got about 4 minutes left. If anybody wants to reach out to you, tell people how they can get in touch with you really quick. And if there's anybody who you want to refer people to, you let us know and let our audience know how to get in touch with you.
And I know you have some projects coming up, too.
Yeah,
so
I was about to say, we got some great projects coming up. We have a Kaboom Playground build on April 25th. We want a grant. So if you guys need to do some volunteer hours, especially you kids, just got to get your community service hours in. Graduate, meet us at Kittredge Park, which is 1520 Kittredge Park Road off North Druid Hills. On May 29th, we have the STEM Street of Dreams Science Festival and Career Fair. This is a huge, huge event. This is my biggest fundraiser out of the year, so I need all your help. All the information is on my website at www.nextstepyep.org. And one of the things we're launching is going to be a TV show / focus group where we teach kids.
We lost you, Dana.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
It's okay. Yeah.
The corporate kid. That is our big. It's going to be like a baby Shark Tank. So it's a combination of a TV show, focus group, marketing workshop for kids. So you can go to my website, www.nextstepsyep.org, and we are looking for about 100 kids that are in CTSOs like DECA and FBLA, any type of youth organization at your school that does STEM, that does youth entrepreneurship, that does mentoring. It's going to be at Georgia Tech on May 29th, and it's an all-day event. It's $10 because we've got to feed these kids. They eat a lot. Smart kids eat a whole lot. So we're charging $10 so that we can make sure the kids eat. And the corporate kid is a big thing. There was a professor at Emory that wrote a book called The Corporate Kid based off of a kid in Atlanta that goes into this big company, and he changes the CEO's mind and how he runs the organization. So it was a perfect fit for Next Steps, and it helps us, you know, teach kids entrepreneurship, teach them project management. We are going to do a casting call for the corporate kid on May 2nd at the DeKalb International Student Center on North Druid Hills. Again, that information is on the website. We have a Twitter account, Next Steps YEP.
We have Facebook at Next Steps Youth Entrepreneur Program. And again, the website is the absolute best way to get in touch with us. Again, www.nextstepsyep.org.
Well, whoop, there it is. In the words of my friend Steve Rowland, whoop, there it is. You are just a ball of energy, and we just want to thank you for coming on the show, and you know that I'm all supporting you in anything you do, and I just want to say much love to you, and, you know, just keep on doing what you're doing because you're making an impact.
Yeah.
And thank
you. And can I tell you
doing.
Guys a secret? Can I tell you a secret real quick?
Maybe.
You know, the way that I actually teach kids STEM and introduce to STEM, I use a bag of chips.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you may have to hold that bag of chips till next time because we don't have to have you back.
You got a bag of chips.
So people will have to tune in again because we are out of town and see how Dana is teaching people about STEM through a bag of chips. And Dana,
we
got to
hear about
that. And a bag of
you
chips.
Got
so
it,
we thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to our sponsors.
Dana Jewel Harris for tuning in with us. We actually have to go now. It is time for the music to kick on. Everybody, tell us how Juarez did, and you can send us a note on our new app on techsocialite.simdiff.com, or you can send it on wxrpradio.com, or you can contact me at cairoqueen@gmail.com, and
right.
fathertrue.com is our
sponsor. All our listeners, we promise next time we're going to get y'all online, but look, we're providing you all this information. Who needs to talk when you can listen and learn? So, well, there it is. One more time.
Okay.
All right. Thank y'all, everyone. And we definitely want to thank Dana Harris again. D. Jewel, it's been a blessing. We'll talk soon.
Next step. Positive thoughts plus positive energy equals positive results. We'll see you next week when we have a guest. Who's our guest?